Hello and welcome to the Blizzard Watch podcast. Thank you guys for being here. With me this week, as always, are my two magnificent co-hosts, but I'm not going to tell you who I am. Who am I? Who knows? Who cares? I know. I care. I know who I am. I'm Matt. But with me are my two magnificent co-hosts, Liz Harper and Joe Perez. Guys, hi. How you doing? I know things can be rough at times, but hopefully you're feeling up to talking about some various Blizzard games.
Yay!
Okay. I like the yay.
We've almost managed to fade enthusiasm. Do you think we fooled
the audience at home? Oh, I'm good. I'm awake now. I'm good.
I'm enthused. I'm just not very here.
That's the real purpose of the pre-show. Let's be honest.
Yeah, the pre-show does kind of
warm up. We warm up, and if you're a Patreon supporter, you can listen to our pre-show. You can listen to it live, or you can be a Patreon supporter and get the uncut podcast and hear us rambling about whatever we want to talk about.
This week was actually a fun discussion of various role-playing game stuff. So if you like that kind of thing, you know, it was pretty cool. So we're going to talk about stuff going on in various Blizzard games this week, and then we'll get on to these three questions that I managed to find, because people, please, if you love me at all, if you ever had kind feelings in your heart for me, ask some questions for the podcast. I know sometimes we don't get to them, but my God, it's helpful to have them. And I can't keep stealing questions from Joe for Lore Watch, because a lot of times it's very obvious I've done so. But there's actually a good amount of stuff to talk about. First off, we'll mention something that's just a pretty standard thing to mention. If you've not been paying attention, there's been a turbulent time-walking event for the last couple of weeks, and it's going for the rest of the month. It'll be going right into May. And it is, basically, it is time walking, just like normal, except there's a new one every week. This week, I believe we're starting on Warlords of Draenor, and you go run 5 Warlords of Draenor time walking dungeons. And at the end, you get a piece of heroic Vault of the Incarnates loot. So instead of the usual piece of just normal Vault of the Incarnates loot, you get a piece of that can be anywhere between like 402 to like 411, which is pretty solid if you're, you know, unless you're like running mythics all the time. It's a pretty solid, like, you know, chance at some gear. If you've done the last couple of weeks, you've already gotten 2 shots at the thing, and there's 4 more to go because there's 4 more weeks of this. So, you know, that's still going on. So cool. However, there's been a bunch of stuff happening today. For starters, the new Hearthstone Festival of Legends expansion for Hearthstone has gone live. It went live today. We had a post about all the various rewards you could get and the reward tracks and so forth. I did some skimming on it, but I mean, I don't play a ton of Hearthstone. Every so often I go on and play and remember how bad I am at it and then stop. But it looks like the free stuff isn't too bad. Like, there's a fair amount of stuff you can get just free. There's like a bunch of gold, you know, that's usual, but there's 8 standard packs, 3 Festival of Legends packs, 3 tavern tickets, 1 uncraftable card, which is, there's a legendary called Pozik, audio engineer, which I'm like, okay, because that's the theme of this one, right? The theme of this is that every class can play a musical instrument or has a song type.
Every class has its, the whole thing is music themed around this like Festival of Legends music festival. And every class has like its own musical genre and its own band, which we saw the bands playing on Twitch last week. Each class has a legendary based on this band. And it's weird, but they really run with the theme.
Yeah, this reminds me of when they did the Karazhan thing. Like, remember the Karazhan set that
it's
they
like
did?
All of them. Yeah. One Night in Karazhan, which was also really
that was
fun.
Amazing.
That was a single player. It was a single player adventure where you kind of went through Karazhan, and it's Hearthstone does really fun story stuff. I wish they did more story stuff, because there's kind of a narrative here, but in the end it's just a bunch of cards with flavor text, and because they haven't done single player adventures in a while, the single player adventures could be, I thought they could be really fun, but we haven't seen any in quite some time now.
Okay, I gotta say this, I was just looking through cards while you guys were talking, and I found one of the cards is Climactic Necrotic Explosion, And the subtext is, the less legible the band's logo, the more hardcore it is.
I mean, that's mm-hmm. fair. That's pretty much accurate.
Yeah. I'm sitting there going, wow, it's Creator. Waking of the gods. Yeah, so I'm like, I'm thinking this is interesting, but yeah, there is the downside of not really necessarily knowing what you're doing, but I do like, you know, seeing all this various stuff that they've added in that's based around this musical theme idea. The fact that each class has their own band too is also pretty cool.
Yes, it's really ridiculous.
I'm looking at the Demon Hunter ones. And the Demon Hunter ones look like a lot of fun too, quite frankly. There's ones that are just, you know, like Flame Reaper or whatever, but then there's ones that are like pretty sincerely based around the Demon Hunter thing. It's interesting because, you know, some bands you just like really don't know what their musical genre would be. Others feel like they're kind of self-explanatory. Like you kind of know what Death Knight should be. But some of them, like the Demon Hunter, I'm like, wait a minute. We already gave that one to Death Knights. What did Demon Hunters do? So yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff here. But at any rate, like I said, that went live today. So if you are into Hearthstone, you can play it right now. It's out. The expansion has dropped. In addition to that, however, we also have Overwatch 2 Season 4 started today.
Blizzard likes stacking every event from every game right on top of each other in some crazy mesh that prevents me from sleeping or doing anything else. So
I honestly find
myself, season four.
Yeah, I find myself wondering how much of this is related to the fact that we are less than a month away from Diablo 4. And in case you guys don't know, I will find an excuse to mention that
every chance. Podcast. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's coming. Just get used to Matt talking about it.
Are we less than a month away?
Yeah, it's really? April 11th. Is that 11th.
How time works?
Oh, no, it's 2 months.
Mike, 2 months.
2 months.
Matt, okay. Yeah, I was going to say, time is an illusion, but not that much of an illusion.
Yeah, no, it's less than 2 months.
I'm over here, like, flipping through my paper calendar, like, what is time?
I just forgot May.
Okay.
The entire month of the year, I'm like, yeah, it doesn't look that interesting. Let's just skip it. But, yeah, less than 2 months. And I feel like they're kind of trying to get everything out. Part of the reason is that something is going on in May as well. So we'll get back to that. There is a reason why
something.
Yeah, something important. We'll talk about it.
I don't know what that could be.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a mystery. But looking at the season four for Overwatch 2, I mean, obviously, there are some problems still for Overwatch 2. Like, for instance, Joe still can't play it.
Yeah, I tried again last week, and I'm still having the same problem. It is frustrating.
Like, I know your computer is not, like, it's not brand new, but it's not a slouch or anything. It's a reasonably good computer.
The computer is about a year old. Like, it's maybe a year and a half. It's not very old. And, I mean, the thing is, and I hate to say it like this, I'm tech savvy. This is what I do for a 9-to-5 job. And I cannot troubleshoot this in a manner that makes it work, which that's the frustrating part. Not that there's a bug. It's just that there's no seeming way around the bug. So, and for those of you that don't know, when I try to play Overwatch 2, I can load the game just fine. But once I'm in even menus for more than 5 minutes, it completely maxes out my memory, page file included, and causes the game to crash and potentially also the computer. Like, yeah. It's a weird, weird, weird bug. And it's not the first time we've had memory leaks. WoW used to have that, like, a big problem. I think it was right around Warlords of Draenor. They had an issue where it flared up, but they were able to get it under control. Here, I can't find anything aside from people having the issue with no fix in sight. I haven't seen it mentioned anywhere officially. So, like, as much as I would like to give Overwatch 2 a fair chance and, like, give it a try, I just can't.
Yeah, and that's a problem. We mention it because, you know, who knows? People listen to the show. Maybe someone will be like, oh, we should fix that. I don't know. But I will say that looking at season four, it does feel like they're kind of trying to, I think one place I read said, you know, ramping it up. They're trying to get people like, here, look at all this stuff. You know, now's the time to play Overwatch 2. I have no idea how well Overwatch 2 is doing. I cannot say to how often, how many people playing it, you know, how's it doing? I have no idea. But I do know that looking at all this, like there's a lot in this battle pass for a season four. Like going up to like tier 80 and you know, Galactic Emperor, Mythic Sigma skin, Galactic Emperor player icon. You know, that's at level 80. There's a lot of stuff here. So
they've done a whole space opera theme this season.
Yeah, I'm seeing.
So everything has this like cosmic flair to it. That's really interesting. But when any game does things like this, these themed things, I'm like, I want to see the story. I want to know the story behind all of these weird skins. Tell me your space opera. Yeah, I want to have it.
Heroes of the Storm did that a lot.
Oh, like, Heroes of the Storm did that nonstop. Yeah,
I was like, oh, what is the deal with Cosmic Tyrael? Come on, you cannot just have Mecha Tyrael and not tell me what's going on.
I miss Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah. I honestly enjoyed playing. That's the one game where I really enjoyed playing it. Out of all the MOBAs, it's the only one I really like playing. Granted, I played almost exclusively as Malfurion, and I honestly think I did so I could heal people but irritate them at the same time by being Malfurion. Because man, he irritates.
This tracks.
Yes, it does. But yeah, I'm looking at like even some of the starter stuff is stuff people are going to want, like Space Prince Legendary Lucio skin. Who's looking very Luke Skywalker, in case you're wondering.
I will note one thing that continues to be awkward about Overwatch 2 and its Battle Pass is that if you pay for the Battle Pass, you get the new hero, Lifeweaver, day one. You pay for the Battle Pass, you have Lifeweaver immediately. You can jump in and play. Lifeweaver is a new support hero who has a lot of like interesting like movement abilities. He literally has a life grip, which I mainly know from World of Warcraft, as a way to troll your teammates terribly, though sometimes you can also do useful things with it. Yeah, that's gold if you find a priest that does useful things with life grip.
I can tell you a story about the time that a priest used
it. Go for it.
This is when Joe and I were in the same guild, and I was there as a new warrior, but they decided to get me to tank on Spine of Deathwing because I had cleared up. I'd cleared the whole raid of my Horde guild, and they were still working on Spine. So they were like, you know, can you tank on this? And I was like, sure. And I loved tanking that fight because for Prot warriors could do like all so many different things that they could do that then got taken out after. But eventually, the problem is you'd get overrun by the Bloods. Even if you were getting the aggro, eventually you just run out of ways to get away from them. And of all the people in the world to do something useful, Matt Lowe, aka Maticus, is the one who life gripped me out the night we killed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously, for all that I give Matt trouble, like when we were at BlizzCon together, I harassed him mercilessly because I was the first Matt on the site and he needs to pay respect. Regardless, when it came down to it, he is the only priest I've ever been in a group with who used life grip as it was intended to be used. He did troll people with it, but when it came down to it, he used it properly and we killed Deathwing. Spine of Deathwing. We still had to go down and kill the other one. I don't like having the same guy twice. That's not a cool thing. Like, don't do that again, Blizzard. Don't have us fight the same guy twice. But regardless, I'm interested to hear about Overwatch using that.
Oh, well, I was going to say the best life grip I have ever had was a priest life gripped me onto an elevator so I could keep up with the group. I remember this moment always.
that's always useful.
Yeah, probably not as much of that in Overwatch, but yeah, he has like a platform he can summon to lift people up, which I suppose you could use on enemies to kind of get them out of the way, or though you'd have to be pretty bad to like stay on the platform. You use life grip to grab people and pull them in your direction. So I think that's really interesting. He is a support hero, and he has kind of, you know, every Overwatch hero has a little, or every Overwatch support hero has a little DPS, a little healing. So I think he has this interesting, like really a support kit, not necessarily a pure healing kit. So it'll be interesting to see him in play. But I think where I started with this tangent is that if you pay for the Battle Pass, you get him on day one. You can do all this cool stuff immediately. If you do not pay for the Battle Pass, you get him at tier 45, which is
a fair bit down the road.
That's kind of up there.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, the Battle Pass does go up to tier 80, which is a lot. But the free version of Lifeweaver is at tier 45, which is way down there. And
more than halfway through the various tiers.
So you gotta work really hard to get Lifeweaver, and I don't know, that just sounds really that seems really unfun. It's like either you pay up front. I just free to play games drive me crazy because it's just I want to play the game. And it's like, no, you've got to work hard and be a good player and, you know, and it's I'm not really a good player.
I'm not doing this for a job, kind of, but I don't want the game playing to actually be my job. I mean, come on, guys.
Yeah. So it kind of feels like if you really want to play Overwatch, you have to buy the Battle Pass every season. And seasons are around 6 weeks so far. So you got six weeks to go up these 45 levels if you want to get Lifeweaver and you don't want to pay the cash up front.
Yeah, and I don't know. Have they actually come up? They kept saying they were going to have another alternative way to get these heroes if you don't get them before the end of the season. Have they actually done that with any of them yet? Like, I thought they did with Karakor, but I'm not sure.
I believe they have, but I do not know exactly how.
Yeah, that's not surprising. It's been kind of, the messaging has not been super great for things. But yeah, one of the things to talk about is that we now, in addition to all the stuff we know about the fact that we're going to get patch 10.1 in May, is we now know exactly when season one's going to end. Currently, we are in season one in Dragonflight, World of Warcraft, by the way. I should have thrown that in there up front. So, but yeah, Dragonflight has it currently in its season one. And we know it's going to end on May 1st, which I think means then the next week we get season two. Am I correct on this? Or is it we get season two immediately and then we get raids the next week?
We get season two immediately and the raids the next week.
Okay. I knew it was one of those two, but I honestly couldn't remember.
I was literally just talking about that with my guild today because I didn't know either.
Yeah, it's one of those things that is like you play the game, but you don't really think about it too much because it just happens. So yeah, I was actually, it's much in the same way as I don't know my phone number. I don't call me. Like, I mean, I've never called myself. Why would I? I'm here. So, you know, I don't know my cell phone number is not a thing I know. I have to look it up every time. Luckily, it's in there. But nevertheless, it's similar to that with WoW and it's season changing. But now that we know that that's happening, which means we're going to get the new raid will be the next week, but we're going to get like a bunch of new stuff right away. And that's going to be pretty interesting. We're going to get our new Mythic Plus rating and a Mythic Plus. Mythic Plus Dungeons. Wow, having a hard time today. Mythic Plus Dungeons, the new rotation will come in, I believe. We'll get that immediately. We're going to get the new Fire Rack Assaults. And they take place throughout the Dragon Isle, so that's pretty interesting. There's a bunch of stuff that's been data mined, too, that like and stuff that's happening right now in 10.0.7 that has really interesting story implications for 10.1. For example, I can't remember his name. The dragon who is hanging out as a depressed dwarf.
Verastraza.
Yeah, he's got himself a Black Dragonflight friend after so many years of missing his Black Dragonflight friend.
Yeah, the archivist.
It's a new one. It's not the same one. But yeah, they're buddies now. So
I mean, friend may be stretching it. It's kind of like one of them annoys the other,
friendship. At least that's been all my friendships. I annoy people, and
it feels like they're setting it up so that the relationship evolves, right? Like the more.
Yeah. Well, it's already evolved in like the 3 weeks. Has it only been 3 weeks since patch 10.07?
Only been 3 weeks. 4 weeks to go.
For people who do not know what we're talking about, if you run the Zyskera vaults every week, your Black Dragon friend will ask, hey, did you find anything cool in the vaults? Did you find anything cool for me? I want to discover powerful artifacts from Netherion. Neltharion. Yeah, that dragon, not the other dragon with almost the same name. If you find something cool, bring it to me. And you bring it to him, and then we go to Verastraza to identify it and tell us what it is. And usually it's something completely mundane, and they have
conversations.
Like funny conversations and kind of like heartwarming conversations and sad conversations. It's a tangled mess of emotions that I cannot handle, but it's been a really good story moment.
And it's also really cool because it continues on something we got when we were leveling. And so it's heartening to see that happen.
Agreed.
But the most recent one is they're introducing they find a vase or something with like a picture of a black dragon fighting Dejardin, and you bring it to the to Verestras, and he's like, "Yes, this is the story of the heroic dragon, and I can't remember their name. You know, sorry guys, I'm old and tired." But you know, he's like a heroic story of this dragon, and you're like, "Can you tell us a story?" And he's like, "Yes, but I don't want to right now because A, content needs to be dribbled out, and B, it's real hella sad, and it's me telling you this." So when I say it's real hella sad, get ready, get some tissues. You know, you do not want to come into this thing without some tissues because it's going to be really sad. Trust me, this is awful. So yeah, I'm looking forward to him breaking my heart, quite frankly.
Dragonflight has had a lot of moments like that. You know, just little sad things that are just like peppered in. There's so much joy in Dragonflight. And there's also just these very poignant moments that are really touching. Like, I played through the quest with Bane. I only got around to doing that last week.
Yeah,
and that's a good quest. I got to that. It's a really good quest, but I was just crying at the end because it's just, oh man. Man, Blizzard, stop doing this. Give me the happy stories. I can't handle it.
I will say it's definitely an improvement over like where we were at the end of Legion and for most of Battle for Azeroth, where it was literally just like everything is dead and on fire. And, you know, every story beat is, oh, hey, this bad thing happened. And it's like, ah, please.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm willing to take the bitter and the sweet. I'm glad they've added some sweet.
I think it's a really nice mix of storytelling here. It's this expansion has felt really great.
Yeah. Balance wise, it's really good. Mm-hmm. But yeah, since that's happening, I guess we should mention we didn't really talk about it last week. The trading post is now like, you know, 11 days in. So if you haven't been doing the April trading post,
I'm already almost close to like finishing my thing already.
Yeah,
like,
it's so weird.
If you play fairly regularly, it's not hard.
I will say that if you haven't started the trading post, both what these guys just said, it's not very hard, but also Noble Garden started this week and you can get something like 450 points, I believe, by doing Noble Garden activities. So if you haven't started, you can zoom through them by doing Noble Garden.
Yeah, and we should talk about Noble Garden as well. That started like, I guess, last week
on
or this weekend?
On the 10th. It started on Monday. Yeah. And it goes through the 17th. So you only have, you know, you got like a week to get it done.
It's not mostly unchanged, but they did add the Drake's Big Basket of Eggs, according to the article that we put up that I didn't write, but I did, you know, read it because, you know, it's my job. So you can get this cool, is it a toy or is it just a thing?
It's a toy.
Yes, it's actually a toy. Sorry, go ahead.
And it is literally a big basket of painted Easter eggs that your Drake will carry around in its mouth while you are out dragon riding. And one thing I think is really cool about it is during Noble Garden, it has like a 3-minute cooldown. It has a really short cooldown. So it has a short enough cooldown that you could use it all the time, like nonstop while you're dragon riding. But
yeah, pretty much every time you switch to a new mount after you've landed to do something, you could pop that thing back on.
Yeah, so let's just more eggs. But after Noble Garden is over, it will have an hour cooldown, so you can only briefly have your dragon carrying around a basket of Easter eggs.
Yeah, that is sad.
You know what I really hope for Christmas this past year? We saw Raziath carrying a candy cane and a wreath. Like, you would go into Vault of the Incarnates and you had, like, special decorated holiday Raziath with a little hat.
Yeah, I remember
and
the
candy
hat,
cane
yeah.
And a wreath. And, she was carrying, like, a candy cane and a wreath in her tiny little arms. I think we need to get this kind of thing for our dragon riding mounts as well. So we can be flying around with, like, our hat and carrying our wreath and our tiny little arms. And I think that would be great if we could all share this joy.
Well, I mean, they're already letting us fly around on a Raziath, so I mean,
yeah,
it's true. We're halfway there.
I will say that I don't know about you guys, but we literally just took down our Christmas tree like last week.
Wait, you take down your Christmas tree?
Yeah, we actually do, but we just did it. And I'm like, shouldn't the holiday things last until you get around to it? Like, you know, I can imagine your Drake just clutching the egg basket in his mouth and you're like, hey, buddy, that's been in there for a while. No, it's my egg. It's my eggs. Dude, they're not good anymore. I don't eat them. I just keep them in my basket. Yes, but the smell that you're getting, and it's right near your face, so I know you're smelling it. Wind is fast. Don't mind. I'm not giving back my basket. Okay. All right, buddy. Okay. You can keep your basket.
For anyone actually who wants to get this thing, it costs you 20 of the... wow. No, not 20. Add a zero to the end of that. 200 Noble Garden chocolates, which you get by collecting Noble Garden eggs in the starting cities. That's a lot of eggs you've got to get. It's a good amount of eggs. But I don't know. How recently have either of y'all done Noble Garden?
Nope.
Yeah.
I can't be bothered anymore. The last time I did it was like years ago.
This is actually the first year in a long time that I've realized Noble Garden was happening when it was up. Because the thing is they base it around Easter, and Easter moves around based on, you know, and it's one of those things where I just lost track. But this is the first time I've actually figured it out. Part of the problem is that as a night elf woman, my character is targeted mercilessly during Noble Garden. Like, everybody's constantly trying to throw things on her head. And I'm like, stop it. It's annoying. So I have been like laying low for a while. But I am kind of curious about this. Quite frankly, I do think I might do it just to get the thing from my mount.
So
all I know is I'm still traumatized from Noble Garden because of the bunny costume that pacifies you. So people would like put the bunny costume on you, pacify you, and then yell at you for not healing them. No bueno.
Yeah, that wasn't great.
Well, I mean, those people like that are going to find a way to be jerks no matter what.
Oh, 100%.
But okay, I looked up the time when I got the Noble Garden meta achievement. I looked it up this afternoon, and it was 2009 when I got the meta achievement, and I have not really touched the holiday since I got the meta achievement, because once you get the meta achievement for any holiday, you're just kind of like, I am so done with this holiday. I have been doing so much Noble Garden. I never want to come back. Ah! And
very similar to just getting any reputation in WoW. By the time you're done with it, you're like, do I have to do this anymore? I hope not.
I hate you. I hate all of you. I never want to see you again. And they're like,
hooray, give me my best
friends forever.
Yes, give me my pet. Grab it out of their hands. I'm leaving.
I say this as someone who spent the last week grounding up to Exalted with Emperor Xiaohao and buying the mount for 100,000 timeless coins. And also I ground from nothing to max for the Golden Lotus. And I bought 3 crane mounts. So I'm up by 4 mounts just in a week. It's great. And also I'm never going back. That's also great. I never have to return ever. Okay, back to Noble Garden. We're focusing up, talking about Noble Garden. So when I, you know, back in the day when you did Noble Garden, it was a brutal blood sport to collect eggs, because one person would click the egg, and whoever clicked the egg first got the egg. No one else could get the egg. And so you would like camp on spawn points. I imagine this was just really bad on PvP servers, because it was, you know, the competition to click on those eggs the fastest. It was horrible. It was getting those eggs. It was a nightmare. You would log in at weird times of day, and people would be like sitting in front of the eggs, like with their mouse cursor right over the egg, so they could click it as soon as it spawned, because that's what you needed to do to get those eggs.
It was the inevitable terrible egg.
Yeah, but today those it's like mining nodes. Multiple people can click them. So
when did that happen? Did they just do this, or has it been doing this for a while?
I don't know, but I went to do Noble Garden. I'm like, I can just run around and click eggs. And it doesn't matter if other people are clicking eggs. I can just run around and experience the joy of just finding eggs in corners, finding brightly painted eggs sitting on top of like mailboxes and lampposts and whatever, in whatever weird places they get put. And I can just run around. I can be a bunny and I can run around and click on eggs. And that's all I have to do to get eggs. And it's great. It's great. I highly recommend it. if you're having, you know, a bad day, just go walk into World of Warcraft, go to one of the starting cities and just run around in circles and click colorful eggs. It's kind of soothing. And if you do that 200 times,
yeah, well, that's a bit
you
much,
may but... wind up, yeah, you may wind up with enough chocolates to buy this Easter egg basket for your dragon riding mount.
Okay, well, that's cool. And I might actually do it. Like I said, I'm thinking about doing it. I will point out one last thing before we move on to going through some questions. Both they're having the Blizzard's having their spring sale for their various games and stuff on their online store. One of the things you can do is you can get both Diablo 2 Resurrected and Diablo 3 on sale. And part of the reason for that is obviously because in about 2 months we're going to get Diablo 4, and they want to give people a chance to play those games and see what the story before, you know, the story thus far has been. So yeah, that's obvious. But another thing is that while they're doing that, they're also gearing up their press juggernaut to actually start, you know, getting people hyped for Diablo 4. Although more than they've already gotten us hyped. I mean, I'm already hyped.
I think between the two of us, our hype levels are like 9,000 already.
Yeah, the scouter is broken. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is funny you mentioned that because I have a scouter on my desk right now, actually.
Don't look at me with it because you were just not going to, you'll be like, ah! But yeah. In addition to that, one of the things that they're doing is a dev live stream on April 20th, which since it's the 11th, that'll be next week, later in the week. They did a post, I think, last week, which was their, you know, here's the end game and the dev live stream and on the 20th. I don't know what they're going to cover. Probably everything. But it does, we are getting closer to, you know, Diablo time. Diablo 4 is coming out. And I do think it's having an effect on when Blizzard's putting other stuff out. Like, I really feel like we're getting the Hearthstone Festival Legends and Overwatch 2 and, you know, Dragonflight 10.1. All of them before that. And it's not a coincidence.
I do want to jump in and say that Hearthstone actually has a really, really fixed schedule on which it does this. Like, I think we definitely predicted April for the release of the next expansion, because they always kind of do three expansions a year with a really regular cadence. So I think this one, at least Hearthstone, just kind of happened.
And yeah, but Overwatch 2. It could be that they're all Overwatch, just kind of happening, but it does seem interesting.
Yeah. Overwatch also does a pretty regular 6 weeks thing. So that would put their next season in mid-May. So actually, it may be pretty close to Diablo's launch. We're going to have to see, because they've been pretty bad about stacking things on top of each other.
Yeah.
Diablo 4's launch is also when we would usually expect the Diablo 3 season to kind of wrap up, kind of around then.
Yeah.
Which is going to be interesting.
I wrote a BT about that because I was thinking about it. It's like, you know, we've heard nothing about season 29. We've heard literally nothing. And I'm not saying we should necessarily have heard anything. Usually we don't hear about it until they drop a PTR for it
which is right at the end of the season.
Yeah, it's usually like a week or two before the end of the season. So,
which would probably line up with the Diablo 4 release, which would be weird.
No, because this season started like last month. So if you go through like 4 weeks, 4 weeks, 4 weeks, like that's 12 weeks is usually in the ballpark for what they're aiming for. You would expect an announcement for the PTR in mid-May. And you'd expect the season to end like the end of May, the first week of June. Diablo 4 is coming out on the 6th of June. So I guess we'll know when we get closer to the end of May, we'll know, is there going to be something? Is there going to be any more development? Is there going to be anything? And I think it's not the same case as with Diablo 2. Diablo 2 Resurrected has a separate dev team that's not part of the main Diablo dev team. It's the people that worked on the console port in the first place. It's the former Vicarious, you know, Visions guys, right? I'm not insane here, right? It is those guys. It's not just the normal Diablo team. So whilst they'll have Diablo Immortal, which is getting worked on by its own group, they'll have D2R getting worked on by its own group. The main Diablo group is both Diablo 3 and Diablo 4. And I have no idea what's going to happen. My dream is that they keep developing on D3 for a while. Maybe they slow it down. Maybe they go down to like, you know, four or five people, like the way they did for Heroes of the Storm for a while. I don't know. But I the way that the seasons worked in Diablo 3, I think, is unique enough that I would like to see it preserved. Because Diablo 4 seasons are not going to be like Diablo 3 season. There's going to be a lot more story in them. They're going to be advancing the story of Diablo 4 past endgame and into basically the continuing content thing, which is something they did in Diablo 3, but it was an afterthought. They didn't intend to do Diablo 3 that way. It just evolved that way. Diablo 4 is being grown that way from the start. They want to have, you know, more story continuously. So I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know. Do either of you have an idea on that? Do you have a preference? Like, you know, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think they're just going to move to D4?
I think it would be interesting to still have Diablo 3 seasons because the games do play really differently.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I've been thinking about this for a while, and I don't know what they're going to do with it.
I think what would be interesting, like my ideal path here, would be to have like, okay, we get a Diablo 4 season, and then a month or 2 months later, we get a Diablo 3 season, and then a month or 2 months later, we get a Diablo 4 season, to get into this cadence where we're going back and forth, and Diablo fans can keep enjoying both games. And it's like, okay, I'm kind of tired of Diablo 4. I've collected all the cosmetics. I've played through all the zones. I found all of the shrines of Lilith, and I'm kind of tired of it. Then, like, when you hit that point, you get a new Diablo 3 season. It's like, oh, I can have this refreshing break in Diablo 3, which is much more fast-paced. And, I mean, the gameplay feels different enough that I think you might enjoy the dichotomy of jumping back and forth and playing both a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know if that's gonna see that. Absolutely.
I don't know if that's going to happen, but yeah, I think that would be my ideal.
All right, but that is pretty much what we were talking about this week in terms of news stuff. It's been kind of after the month and a half to 2 months of just continuous stuff happening, we did get a bit of a lull. We only got three expansions this week. one expansion and one season thing, and then, you know, and then like one holiday. So by our standards, this is relatively low pace.
For like the past 3 weeks, I've been like, okay, this is going to be a quiet week. This week may actually be a quiet week because we had all of our releases today, and maybe we can just chill out for the rest of the week.
That would be nice. But to move on, we have a couple of questions here that we're going to answer. So if you guys have a question for the show, you can get it to us a couple of ways. One is to go to our Discord server. We have two Discord channels. One is the Patreon Q and Podcast Questions channel, which we go to first because that's one of the things you get for being a patron. So you should check out being a patron for us because, you know, blizzardwatch.com/Patreon. Go do that if you have the ability to, because there's lots of cool stuff like getting to listen to us ramble on about, you know, role-playing games for like half an hour before every show, or in this case, get your question looked at first. But if you can't do that, if you can't support us on Patreon, you still want to use Discord, we do have another channel, which is just the Q and Podcast Questions channel. And we do look there as well. We absolutely do. We just look there second because, you know, again, patron bonus. However, if you'd rather just email us, we also have an email address, which is podcast@blizzardwatch.com. And we look there for stuff too. And also sometimes people just DM me stuff on Twitter and I use it because it's there in my Twitter thing. And I'm like, all right, whatever. So that happens. Although I don't use Twitter that much anymore. So at any rate, in the past, we've done various things, and so this time, I'm just going to say, Joe, could you read the first one? Because it's kind of a Lore Watchy thing, but they did not say Lore Watch on it, so I grabbed it.
Sure. Let's go ahead and do this, then. Hello, Joe, Liz, and the Ogre. I mean, Matt is technically one half of a two-headed ogre, so I guess that works. I have a question about the possibility of Drakthyr of other classes. I seem to recall Ian Hazzacostas making a comment to the effect that a Drakthyr might learn to use a sword or get sneaky, but I found myself wondering if that's really the ideal way to go. There are lots of dragon people, and we found out in Dragonflight that the Draconoids are descended from the Terrasek we encounter on the Dragon Isles, change into various forms of Draconoids with the power of the Aspects. My question is, could we maybe get them as playable instead of Drakthyr of different classes? And if not, why not? Because I want them. Also, a lot of the lore of Draconoids seem to indicate that various mortals, like human and elves, can be changed into Draconoid, and even Zulahed the Whacked changed into one in Burning Crusade. So there are the Terrasek, just the original templates for the Draconoid? Also, how is Broodkeeper Diurna in any way Aranog's mother when he's a Draconoid and she's a Dragonspawn, the Centauric ones? And what's the deal with them and the Terrasek? Are they also mortals of other races like orcs that we changed into changed by dragons as well? Wow, there's a lot here. Yes, maybe, no, kinda, sorta.
I don't know.
We're probably not going to get another frame for Drakthyr because, again, all the animation stuff has already been done. From a practical standpoint, it doesn't make sense to add Draconoids as a playable dragon-like class when you already have Drakthyr that serves that purpose on both factions. It's infinitely easier to rig them with animations that work with the other classes and figure out, you know, how their stuff interacts with that instead versus making other things more playable. Would it be more flavorful and more loreful if we looked at the other various dragon-related races? Yes. But it's not practical from a development standpoint. As far as other things turning into Draconoids, it wasn't until recently that we actually had the lore nugget that they were born of Terrasek, as previously sort of for years at this point, what, almost 20 years, it was the result of the experimentation that Naltharion or Deathwing was doing. That was the whole point of them. We didn't know that they were related to the rest of the aspects. None of the other dragon aspects really talked about them until we started really getting into them I want to say we're at Wrath when we started going up into there and we started seeing more of them being involved with day-to-day life of the different flights.
Actually, I think the very first time we saw that was in BC because they were in the Bronze Dragonflight area.
You're right. Yes, that's true. I completely forgot about that. Yeah,
when we went to the Caverns of Time,
they were there. But before that, they were framed as experimentation.
Yeah, and for that matter, I mean, I'm pretty sure this is Black Rock Caverns. Without the ability to stop and go look it up, I'm just going by memory here. But I think when we go Black Rock Caverns, there's a point where you see like a Twilight pulling power out of a Twilight, you know, using a Nether Drake or a Twilight Drake to turn people into Draconids.
Yeah. Which,
but that doesn't mean that the Terrasek aren't the origin of the Draconids, but it also, you know, there's a lot of different ways you could change somebody into something.
And we also know that because of the whole, we're Titan constructs, essentially, that we can be morphed and molded into other things. And maybe, you know, Deathwing just figured that out. And that's sort of how it all started. And it could be anything. We're all made from the same matter, after all. We're all powered by anima.
As for Diurna and Aranog, I got nothing.
No, actually, here's the answer. She's his mother in so much as she's the egg tender that watched his egg. That's it. Like, they talk about this a lot if you go through, like, the questing with even, like, if you're doing the Rathian and Sibelian stuff, if you're paying attention to the Ruby life pools, the egg tenders are just as much the parents as the actual dragons that lay the eggs. The dragons have sort of, like, a communal family thing. There really isn't, you know, mother, daughter, you know, father, son type stuff. There are multiple mothers, there are multiple fathers, there are multiple, you know, the clutch mates, they're not necessarily laid by the same dragon, but they're part of that clutch of eggs, and they all view themselves as siblings, right? So in this particular case, Diurna, who is a brood keeper, who is a clutch warden, which is what they are, I think they call them dragon spawn too, but they were originally called clutch wardens. She's as much his mother as any of the other dragons. She raised him. She tended his egg. We don't know how long it takes for an egg to gestate and hatch. She could have been watching him for decades, maybe centuries, until he hatched. So, yeah, it's really as simple as that.
Yeah, I saw the various things you're talking about, but I didn't put it together to them calling themselves mothers and stuff. Yeah, sure, cool. I accept that that's the answer.
I pay attention to weird stuff. You're welcome.
Liz, I guess you're up.
I don't see a name for this one. Was there a name attached to this?
They gave me their server. I don't know.
Okay. Well, Hello and salutations. So, I don't mean to sound weird, but what even is Noble Garden? And this is from someone on Airy Peak, U.S. We are glad you are here, even though I do not know your name. I mean, some holidays in WoW are just, there's no real story reason for them to exist in WoW. It's just, hey, it's a holiday in real life, so now we're going to have bunnies and eggs. Do you have something better for us, Joe?
The Great Feast of Noble Garden has long been celebrated by the races of the Alliance and recently adopted by those of the Horde. On this joyous day, it is customary for the nobles and lords from each race to hide coins, candy, and the occasional treasures within special eggs painted to look like wildflowers. These eggs are then scattered around the major cities for the citizenry to find. From heroes to commoners and everyone in between, the Feast of Noble Garden is meant to bring communities together to share the joys of life and friendship.
How come the Horde, like, it took the Horde, like, multiple wars to finally be like, okay, we're going to chill out with the Alliance, but they were just snagging the holidays as soon as they could?
Well, because,
like, oh, hey, Feast of Winter Vale, awesome, we'll do that.
It is super easy and way more economical for us to adopt this holiday than it is to wage war and go and, like, do the camaraderie of battle. I that like this. I will fight for eggs.
Okay, well, at any rate, yeah, I mean, I was looking it up too, but Joe got there first. It's basically just an as Liz said, it's an excuse to have Easter in WoW.
It is. It absolutely is.
You know, we can't call it Easter, because then you have to explain, well, do you mean the pagan spirit Eostre, or do you mean Jesus' resurrection? And it's like, you know, I don't think anybody wants to try and shoehorn Jesus into WoW. For one thing, I think he'd be really hard, like a very tough boss, because he literally comes back from the dead.
Yeah, we got a 3-day cooldown.
Yeah, it's just Oh boy. But regardless,
anyway, Noble Garden is on now, and whether you believe the reason in game that Noble Garden is there or you don't, it's there, and there are eggs. There are eggs you can find under trees and around corners and under things and over things. And it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun. You go in and click on an egg. You see an egg, you click on
an
egg.
I'm going to say this, though. It is much easier to do Noble Garden in the Durotar than it is to do it in Elwyn Forest. Forest, trying to find a green egg amidst all the green. Durotar, just blasted orange. Listen, colorful blue egg.
It is just further proof of Horde bias.
Maybe the Horde's bias towards holidays they could do easier, sure. We don't want to have to look too hard. Oh, there it is! This human game is great! I found more egg! What do we do with the eggs again? Oh, it's got stuff in it, don't worry about it.
Okay, the funny thing is, the eggs have chocolate inside them, and it's like, you can eat the chocolate, but also the chocolate is the currency for the event.
Yeah.
There's even a trading post reward for eating chocolate in Iskara. So it's like, that's a trading post achievement thing where you can get points and get trader's tender and buy cool cosmetic rewards. Except the chocolate is also the currency. So by going to Iskara and eating some, you are eating the currency you need to buy the cosmetics, and that's
just imagining somebody like wrestling a chocolate egg out of an orc hand as he's just trying to eat it. No, my achievement, yeah, it's currency.
I don't know why, but I just thought of that scene from Ace Ventura when he figures out the person is the same, like, you know, the same person, and instead it's like, the currency is chocolate, the chocolate is currency, the currency is chocolate, and just like going in this loop. Like, I don't know why that's just playing in my head.
It confuses me.
It's very much like, I need to, what do I do? Do I do the trading post or do I do the holiday? There'll be a trading post next month, but the holiday won't be back until next year.
It's like, I need to categorize this thing. Is it a food? Is it a currency?
Yes.
It has to fit into one of these boxes, but it's in both. And it's,
you definitely didn't get Gelt as a kid.
It hurts my head.
We got Gelt as a kid, even though I'm not Jewish, just because we had family members who were, they'd married in. So yeah, I used to get chocolate coins every Easter. So yeah, it would be like, okay, Passover candy, sure, it's a coin. So it was currency and it was chocolate. You know, maybe that's why, I don't know, but regardless, I don't have much on Noble Garden aside from what Joe read. So Joe, last one.
All right, Diablo 4 soon. Question, what happens after we kill Lilith? Do we get to kill Inarius? After what he did to, spoiler, I think he needs to get got. I'd be happy to smack him around with and a whole bunch. And where's Tyriel? Maybe we can finally get Eldruin in D4. That would be sweet. And this is from Timothy Thorpe. You presume that we can actually kill Lilith and that she stays dead.
Well, yeah, the staying dead part is really the part I don't think is going to happen. I definitely think we can kill her because, I mean, we've killed the Primevals multiple times, but they just come back.
It's and I
like, also there's an achievement for doing it.
Yeah. There you go.
I also agree.
Is there an achievement for killing Inarius?
No, but there should be. It'll be in a future expansion or content patch. We're gonna have to punch Inarius. Yeah. It's fine.
Like, I hope so. That guy is just.
I have been waiting to punch him for years. Years.
Yeah. Yeah, he's in the from everything he ever says in the Sin Wars books. You want to punch that guy so bad.
Oh my god! Like I remember reading those books, and like there are two literary characters in Blizzard books that I just cannot stand: Inarius and Ronin.
Yeah.
I Ronin have equal hatred for them.
Ronin's not as bad as Inarius.
No, Ronin wants to save the world because he is absolutely like he's the protagonist, so he's got protagonist armor. And Inarius just hates everybody and wants to murder everybody because nobody's as good as him.
Yeah. Yeah. And plus he's really mad that, you know, Lilith tricked him with being hot. And it's like, dude. You know, you're a suit of armor with glowy stuff in it, and you still thought she was hot because she is hot. Just get over it. You screwed up. You know, you're not the first person to think somebody else was hot and then realize, oh, bad also, personality.
I don't track with the whole absentee father thing that he was doing either. Like that's just well, mean. And then coming back and trying to actively kill his children, like doing the whole Kronos thing doesn't work for me either. Like,
yeah. Well, like Liz was talking about it, about how, like, you know, Lilith seems like, you know, there are times when you're playing a game and you're like, are they really that bad? Lilith does some bad things, even in the first 20 to 25 levels of Diablo 4. But you don't get the sense that Lilith would kill everybody just so she could get on a bus back to hell. And Inarius absolutely would kill everybody just to get on a bus back to heaven. So I'm just saying.
I mean, what is it worth?
I heard Liz talking.
So is it worth being turned into a weapon? Go for it, Liz. Sorry.
I Lilith did kind of kill everyone because they threatened her children, but
yeah. But we're the children.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. So I mean, that seems pretty good to us.
Yeah.
Because everyone was like debating, the humans are really powerful. Should we kill all of them or not? And Lilith is like, no, we should not, and I'm going to kill all of you instead. Okay, for anyone listening, this is not a spoiler for Diablo 4. This happened very, very long time ago in the Sin Wars books. This is like old history, creation of sanctuary stuff. So, I mean, it's not... Lilith is not above doing violence for her cause, but she seems a little more on our side than the angels, honestly, which is kind of weird because she is a demon and she is killing a lot of people and causing a lot of bad stuff to happen. But
well, yeah, she cares about it. She cares about us because we're weapons.
Yeah, maybe. But
would you rather be a weapon or 100%. Just dead?
100%. No, I'll be a weapon. That's fine.
Yeah. But at the same time, I mean, this other question about Eldruin, there's no story reason for this. There's nothing I've seen. I've seen no spoilers. This is purely speculation on my part, but I think Tyriel's dead.
No.
I don't want Tyriel to be dead. I would be happy to be proved wrong. But here's the thing. In the first time you meet a former Haradrim in Diablo 4, and again, this was during the open beta, so no, this is not a spoiler. We all know that this happens. That Lorath Doon shows up, who is Tyriel's right-hand guy. If the right-hand guy shows up, then either the guy is coming later or the guy ain't coming. And I feel like Inarius, at best, grabbed a less powerful Tyriel and jammed him somewhere so he couldn't interfere with his whole thing to like get rid of the Zocker Room and create his own religion.
Yeah.
Or he killed him. Now, killing him would be stupid because in the past, Tyriel's been killed and Eldruin has not gone anywhere. Like, someone was using it as a champion. The sword will go find somebody else to use it in the name of justice. So it would be stupid to kill Tyrael because then the sword will go do that. Whereas if you keep Tyrael alive, the sword will stick around with him and thus isn't a threat to you.
And he was greatly diminished at the end of D3, wasn't he? Like, he still took his place back on the council, but, like, he wasn't his former self.
No, he's mortal. He doesn't, you know.
Yeah, he's no angel anymore.
Yeah. And in fact, I mean, this is a guy who Loras had to explain the concept of not eating until you pooped yourself. So, yeah, the Tyrael had a lot to learn. I don't want him to be dead because, A, loved the voice actor for Tyrael in D3 and would love to hear him come back. B, liked the character of Tyrael throughout the series. He's great in D2. He's great in D3. He's a really constant through line. And with Cain gone, Deckard Cain dies in D3. It's game came out in 2012, guys. I'm not spoiling it. With Cain gone and Leah not ever going to be seen again, as far as I can tell, which is another problem I have, I want to have Tyrael's presence. I want to have Tyrael there as that strong through line that connects us to other games.
I was going to say, it feels like you almost need it for that through line, right? You need sort of that cohesive piece of it.
But I could absolutely... Oh, go ahead.
Another thing is about Tyrael in particular is that Diablo Sanctuary is a hard world where the humans always get a bad deal in this eternal conflict between the angels and demons. And you kind of want there to be a concept of justice in this world. And Tyrael embodies that. You want there to be someone on our side who is here for doing what is right because no one else is. Yeah. And it was nice to have Tyrael through D3 and hopefully into D4. Yeah, D2, D3, hopefully D4. Just being here to represent that there can actually be some good on Sanctuary, that Sanctuary deserves to get a fair hand, deserves a just world, which it is really, really not.
Yeah, absolutely. So I hope that answers your question, Timothy. And yeah, we don't know where Tyrael is. Sorry. I don't want him to be dead, but I'm terrified that he is. But regardless, that pretty much wraps us up because we are just over line. We started a couple minutes late and we're a couple minutes over. So yeah. Thank you, everybody. Yeah. Go us. But yeah, thank you for the questions, guys. Again, I'm going to repeat it and then Joe will come in and do his outro and then we'll leave. If you want to send a question to Blizzard Watch, you can do so via our Discord server. You can go to the Patreon Q&A Podcast Questions channel for patrons, or just the podcast and Q&A Podcast Questions channel for non-patrons. Or you can email us at podcast@blizzardwatch.com, subject line podcast of Blizzard Watch, so we know it's for this show and not the other shows. I am positive that that Tarasek Bo here probably wanted to ask that question for Lore Watch and just forgot to put the email in. So, you know, yoink. But in the future, guys, if you put the thing in, we'll know which shows it's for. And when you don't, I ruthlessly yoink.
Even when you do, he will ruthlessly yoink. It's fine.
I try. I try really hard. Like, sometimes if I'm absolutely desperate, I'll do it. But I try. But regardless, Joe, you're up.
Blizzard Watch is made possible due to the generous contributions at patreon.com/blizzardwatch. Your continued support means that this podcast site and community is able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to the podcast, better chance at having your question answered on our podcast with a queue, and an ads-free site experience.
Thank you, Joe and Liz, for being here and allowing me to have two other people to carry the psychic weight of how tired and exhausted the world has made all of us. This has been the Blizzard Watch Podcast. Thank you guys so much for being here, and we will see you next week.